Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Glimmer in the Darkness by Robin Patchen. When Cassidy learns another child has been kidnapped from her hometown, she's convinced the man who took the girl she'd been babysitting 7 years earlier is behind the recent abductions. She alone holds the key to finding him. Though James blames Cassidy for his sister's death, he'll help if there's a chance to save a child's life. Can Cassidy and James identify the serial killer in time to rescue his latest victim?
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm glad you joined me. Today, I'm chatting with Robin Patchen. She's a writer who lives in Texas. She's about to release her 16th romantic suspense, and she would love to visit every place in the entire world twice if she had the money and the time. And wouldn't we all, Robin? I'm with you. Can I come?
Absolutely. Why not?
Well, welcome to the show, Robin.
Okay, thank you. Glad to be here.
So, you know, as a writer with 16 books, obviously you've maybe gotten the hang of this writing thing, maybe. If you're like me, I think I learn with every article or every book I write. Well, what do you think is the hardest part of writing romantic suspense?
You know, specifically romantic suspense, the hardest part for me is coming up with good plots because I really write small town romantic suspense. Well, and I like my characters to all stay in the same town, and I like them all to know each other, you know. But how many different ways can you put danger in that situation? I start to feel like, you know, that little town where Jessica Fletcher lived, you know, in Murder, She Wrote.
Yes.
Like, don't move there. It's a very dangerous place. It's the most dangerous place on the Eastern Seaboard, you know. So coming up with good stories that make sense, that take place in little towns, that for me is the hard part. Stories are always the hard part for me.
So are your characters mostly law enforcement? Are they just ordinary people? Kind of what's your characters like?
You know, I don't like to write too much law enforcement, just simply because I don't know that world very well. And I don't like to write things that I can't write with authority. So I do have some characters who are law enforcement, but even that, I take them out of that world and have them working most of the time apart from their jobs to solve these things. So, you know, mostly my characters are just people who get pulled into things sort of against their will or whatever. They're just ordinary people. I like to write about ordinary people going through difficult circumstances.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you on that. I like to have the ordinary person, you know, who unfortunately either witnesses a crime or is targeted for something they know. But you're right. Sometimes it is hard to come up with those danger elements because I'm like, how many times can I heroine or hero get hit over the head? How many times?
Yeah, exactly. Or shoved in the trunk of a car. I've done that a couple of times.
Oh, I haven't done the trunk of the car yet. I might have to steal that one. Locked in the room, shot at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it is kind of fun, but it is a little stressful to think of the dangerous situations people might get themselves into. And that can be hard. I almost wish, you know, they have those, and they maybe if I Googled it, I could find it. But sometimes when you Google things, you get down these rabbit trails you don't really need to go on. But I wish they would, you know how they have this like adverb or here are ways that you can describe a emotion, like cheat sheets.
Mm-hmm.
They should have one for us. Romantic suspense, danger, cheat sheet. Here's all the things
that you could get.
I had heard a speaker once at a writer conference, and she went through a bunch, and I wrote a lot of them down. I have that little paragraph, but I'm like, I know she said more. I just couldn't write fast enough, and we weren't allowed to record it. So
that's funny. You know, the last one I was brainstorming glimmer in the darkness. I don't usually have hard deadlines. I had a hard deadline for that book. And I knew that there was going to be a kidnapping, and there was going to be a hero, and there was going to be a heroine. And that is all I knew. And I just started, like, going through just websites, just flipping through websites, looking at the, you know, great stories, great, just looking for ideas, because I just was like, I have no idea. And finally, with the help of some brainstorming friends, came up with the plot. But I mean, I was flummoxed. I had written a bunch of books just back to back, and my brain was just broken. So anyway,
yeah,
it becomes a challenge trying to find unique ways to show really what are often the same kinds of danger, or you don't always want them to be, but you need to come up with new things. So anyway.
Right, right. I mean, they do say there's only 7-8 plot lines in the whole universe, and we all just are creating them, which is great,
yes.
I guess. But so we're not really stealing anything. When you go look at other websites, I'm like, well, they took it from someone else, so I'm just, because
right.
we always make it, yeah. you know, our own. You and I could yeah. have the same, a kidnapping, a hero, a heroine. Your story is going to look so different than mine if we all wrote about the same
Exactly.
You know, the same general plot line, which is, I think, kind of really fun. I'm so glad God didn't give us, like, all the same, like, ways of thinking about things.
Exactly. We're really all weirdly unique in our own way.
Yeah. And I yeah. love how that can come out in our writing, too.
Yeah. Me too. And that's one of those unique things that you try to pull. I don't know if you do any editing. I do editing, and I love to try to pull out, you know, that one writer's unique thing that nobody else can do. This is what makes you the only person who can write this story. That's always the fun thing to try to
yes.
find.
Yeah.
Story. So, yeah.
So, so where do you like to go to reflect on your current work in progress, or to go to read? Do you have a favorite spot?
So for me, I get my best thinking done when I'm walking. So I'll go for my walk in the mornings, and sometimes it's just a walk, but sometimes it's that moment when I have all sorts of great ideas, and so I love that. And if my dog will just behave herself, I can even make, you know, like, talk into my phone and make notes and sit down with my dog. She's not trying to chase the rabbits around the neighborhood. That's my favorite place to do that. But when it usually happens, when I get those sparks of ideas, is right in that instant before I fall asleep at night, which just makes me mad. Because you
yes.
know you have to get up and write it down, because you're going to not remember that in the morning.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Because we've all said, oh, I'll remember it. And in the morning you're like, that was a great idea.
Yeah, it was the best idea I ever had, and it's gone. You know. So my favorite place to do it is when I walk. But the most common place for me to come up with great ideas and reflect on my story and all that stuff is just as I'm falling asleep. And I just don't want to think about it anymore.
Yeah, well, I'm still, we were talking before we started recording that, you know, your children are all, you know, graduated, and are they still
mm-hmm.
out of your house? You're kind of out of, at least they're all driving probably. And
oh,
my
yeah.
kids
my
are
is 19, and they're
okay.
all busy and have lives.
Yeah. Good job, yeah. Mom. And, you know, my, you know, I have one who's driving. She's a senior this year, and the other
mm-hmm.
ones are not too far behind, but I'm always mm-hmm. taking them places or driving, and I think a lot because they're all chatting about mm-hmm. whatever, and my mind's mm-hmm. on autopilot. But then I'm like, I can't write it down. I can't talk on my phone because everyone's in the car. I swear, I've lost
yeah.
like brilliant, brilliant plots and dialogue, I tell you. I just know
I
it.
I believe you. I believe you, though, because that's when those things come, and they're not so common that you can just do them again. Those flashes of brilliance are flashes,
yeah.
and you've got to snatch them when you can. So I feel for you. I've been there when you're just like, I love you people, but just stop talking for one
yeah.
second so I can write this down.
I know.
They don't care.
No, they don't. They don't. I recently took my two oldest are junior and senior in high school this year, and we recently mm-hmm. took our first college trip because COVID had, you know, we We're sure. really late on that because of all the closures and stuff. And so they're like half asleep. So we had to get up early to drive 3 hours to this school. And I'm like, I'm thinking of all these things. I'm like, man, I should have taken my phone out and hit the record and had the record app on it and just like talked to them. They wouldn't have known. I could have like plotted out my whole, I remembered a lot of it, but it still wasn't that brilliant. So I was like, darn it.
Yeah. Well, the worst thing, though, is when you do write it all down, and then you look at it a year later, and you're like, yeah, that's not that brilliant.
I know. Time does have a funny way of making us seem a little less polished, a little less, oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Great. So, but it is that connection we have with our, I think with our stories and with our writing that allows us to kind of think of these things. You know, I'm driving, mm-hmm. you're walking, you know, mm-hmm. our characters are real. We start talking to them. They talk back to us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how else do you connect with your characters?
As if they're real people. And it actually starts, it sounds weird, but it actually feels weirder. You sit down and ask a character a question and then type their answer. As if they're sitting across from you and not in your head. But I have learned so much about my characters by asking them probing questions like, what's the scariest thing I could do to you? And what do you fear I'm going to do to you in this story? And like, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? What do you want more than anything and why do you want it? I asked them. So the first time I ever did this was with the villain in my book, Convenient Lies, which is the first book in my long series. And I didn't really understand him. And so I started asking him questions and he started talking just like he was a real person. And I'm glad that no one can peer into my head.
Yeah.
If I'd be in a nut house, but that's okay. But anyway, he ended up being such a fun character and such a real character that when at the end, I won't say what happened, but he's the villain, so bad things happened to him. And I had people like, I can't believe you got to the point where I liked him. I was sad when that happened because I had just, and he was like that to me too. He became very real to me that he almost became sympathetic.
Yes.
So yeah. That's been a really, for me, that's been a very consistent way for me to get to know my characters. And it's kind of fun to do.
Yes, yeah, it is fun to interview. I do a little bit of that. I kind of profile them, and then when they tell me more things, I add to it. But it is interesting to kind of to get that dive deep and to get to know our characters.
Absolutely.
Pretty well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
they have to feel like real people. So.
Yeah. Well, right. If they don't feel real to us, they're not going to feel real to our readers.
Exactly.
So we are almost out of time, Robin. Is there anything else you want to tell our audience about your books or your writing?
Well, I don't know. I have a book coming out next month that I think you're going to talk about a little, or maybe you already have. And mostly just that I love it. It's my favorite thing to do. And if I could just sit and write all the time, I think that would be nirvana. Unfortunately, I have other work to do and people who apparently want me off my computer every once in a while. So
I know, darn those people.
I know. Again, we love them.
We do. Yeah,
because if not, we would, I don't know about you, but I would get lost in my stories and probably never climb out again.
yes, I might not either. But anyway, thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And stay tuned, listeners, to an excerpt from Glimmer in the Darkness in just a minute. But you've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I've been talking with Robin Patchen. She is a writer. She's about to release her 16th book, and you can read more about her and know how to connect with her in the bio with this podcast. I hope you'll join us next time.
Now an excerpt from Glimmer in the Darkness by Robin Patchen. James dropped her arm.
You're sane?
He rubbed the back of his neck before meeting her gaze again.
You're saying that you think you can rescue Ella?
I have to try. I have to. He said nothing, just watched her. If only he'd believe her. A new thought occurred to her, an idea that could change everything. You know this mountain better than I do. I need to find a place everybody tells me doesn't exist, but I know it does. I was there. I almost died there. He stepped back, swallowed hard.
My sister.
She did die there. Cassidy couldn't keep the tears from her voice now. The memory was so close. Hallie in her arms, eyes open, lifeless.
You're saying you're going to the place where you...
where you killed her. That's what he'd almost said. That's what floated between them now. She let it go. He believed what he believed, and there was nothing she could do about that. He started again.
You're going to the place where my sister died?
I believe it's where he's holding...
Who is he? Who did this?
Why don't you... I have no idea! She hadn't meant to shout and tried to calm down. If I knew who he was, I'd have told the police 10 years ago. I can tell you it was a man. I can tell you that he was almost as scared as I was. I can tell you that... I don't think any of it was planned. He wanted to take her. I was extraneous. Hadn't she always been that? He didn't expect me to be there.
I don't want to hear this.
His voice was cold.
I can't listen to your story.
He seemed as emotionally overwrought as she was. She remembered the way his chest would expand when he was upset, the way his jaw would go from rounded to hard. Even past the cropped beard, she could see the softness had disappeared with age or grief. James was all hard angles and anger now. Maybe the anger was her fault. He started again, his tone measured.
I don't want to hear your story. I'm not ready to.
He lifted his hand as if he were going to rub the back of his neck again, but dropped it before it got there. She wanted to press him, to beg him for his help. James would keep her safe at night, and he would know how to cover more ground, cover new ground. He wouldn't go in circles like she had. But she couldn't convince him. He had to decide where to go from here. Go with her, ignore her, or turn her in. There weren't a lot of options, and one of them would be the end of her, the end of little Ella Cote.
Where are you going?
He finally asked. It's up on the mountains somewhere. There's a rock formation that forms caves. I never knew it was there before, and I don't think anyone else does either. It's way off the beaten track. In all the aerial photos I've seen, there's no indication of it. I've studied and studied and studied this mountain, as much as I could on the internet anyway, and there's no record of the cave I'm talking about.
Maybe that means it's not there.
I remember it, James. It haunts my dreams. It haunts. Her voice was too full of emotion. She had to stop that. Had to be stoic. James wouldn't believe her tears if she shed them.
How far away is it?
I don't know exactly. I was so afraid.
She let the memory wash over her.
It took hours to climb up. I came down a different way. It was dark. I was terrified. I just don't know. But I know it's up there, and I know that's where Ella is. In my heart.
She pressed her hand to her chest.
She's still there, and she's still alive. For now. If you care at all about Reed, if you care at all about his little girl, if you ever cared about me, I need your help. I can't do this by myself.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.